Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Boomer the Vape Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer the Vape, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Welcome to the Boomer the Vape Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer the Vape, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Show on a Saturday morning, a beautiful Saturday morning here in Litchfield Park, Arizona. We're doing a special programming today. We're going to be here at Litchfield at the newly renovated Jewel Desert Wigwam Resort Golf Club and Spa. It is Saturday, June 25th, 2011. And the reason we're here is we are going to be talking with a lot of people, hopefully, that will come by and visit with us. We're here for the Air Force Association Southwest Region Conference. We have a lot of people here that are involved in the conference, a lot of vendors that are here involved in the conference. They've had a started with a golf tournament yesterday over at Luke Air Force Base Country Club or Golf Club. Tour of the facility over there. And all in all, they're having a very nice time, and they're going to be having a lot of interesting conferees here, talking about a lot of different topics, including such things as cyberspace and any number of other topics that are going to be on the agenda. So we're looking forward to having our guests here today. Some of the sponsors of this event are the Sonoran Technology, Raytheon, of course, which is a big-time contractor. We also have Aerotech News and Review, a publication which I'm looking at right now on my table. Yankee Air Pirates, which is a book by C.K. McCusker, retired, and he's an interesting story about the Vietnam era. And then we also have Honeywell, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, as I mentioned, Glendale Chamber of Commerce, Southwest Valley Chamber of Commerce, Peoria Chamber of Commerce, Midway Chevrolet, the Wigwam Resort, and Goodyear Chamber of Commerce, City of Goodyear, and Credit Union West, all put together with the able-bodied assistance of Miss Doris Getz from New Wave Event Marketing. So we're looking forward to having some people here with us and joining us very shortly, and I see a few of them are starting to go in and get ready for the event that is going to be starting at 8:30. So we're going to be having some of them coming and talking to us along the way. It's going to be almost like a man on the street interview. So when we're not talking and I'm not sitting here flapping my gums, we'll be getting a lot of background noise. And so we're scheduled to be on the air now till 8:30 when the conference actually starts. There are all kinds of events scheduled yesterday and today, and we're looking forward to having a lot of great conversation with a lot of great people. So I'm going to just kind of let it be for now, and then we're going to be able to have some kind of a conversation here with some of these folks before very long. So I'm going to be getting somebody to come by and visit with me just shortly. I've got to run down the call real quick and see who I can find. So I'll be right back to come back live on the air with one of our guests. With our first guest of the morning, Pete Ehrenfeld,
yes,
with Sonoran Technology, and this is internet radio, so we're live on the internet. So we're going to be talking with Pete Ehrenfeld for just a few minutes. I'm glad you could come by. What is it that Sonoran Technology does, and what do you do for them?
Well, Sonoran Technology is a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, and I can explain why I mentioned that in a minute. Basically, we're a government contractor. We pursue government contracts, whether it's at Langley or with the federal government downtown, Department of Justice, and we put people to work, which is, I'm proud to say, here in this economy.
Well, that's very good that you bring people to work. There's no doubt about that. Now, I see on the card that it is a service hyphen disabled veterans crew.
Right.
Are these disabled veterans that you're putting to work primarily?
They can be, but not necessarily. The ownership, if you would, is disabled veterans. So myself and Mr. Smiley, we have minor disability, but you can be 0% disabled and still be declared a disabled veteran and to start a business.
Okay.
So we started this business, but and the government recognizes, if you would, different categories. So we're not only a veteran-owned business, but we're both disabled veteran-owned, disabled veterans, so we are now a disabled veteran-owned business, and also we're under the Small Business Administration, what's known as an 8A business. So the government has, federal government has goals to meet, to award business contracts to. They would like to award at least 3% of all their contracts to 8A companies. And the Luke Air Force Base and some of the Army posts and nationwide, they also have goals. Some are 3%, that they would like 3% of their contracts to go to, in this case, the veteran, which is great. I'd like to point out that not all the branches are meeting their goals. And whenever we put in for a contract, we kind of remind them that, hey, how are you meeting your goals? Are you doing good? Because we can fill a niche for you. We can fill a square for you. And that's what we do.
Is this, I don't mean this to be derogatory in any way, but is this a form of an affirmative action program?
I think it's more of actually leveling the playing field against the big guy.
That's fine.
There's contracts with Northrop Grumman and SAIC and Lockheed Martin Wind that we would never be able to touch.
Okay.
But by the government setting aside opportunities for the little guy, thank God.
Oh, no, absolutely. I've I firmly agree that everybody should have an opportunity to get some work if they really want to do it. There's no doubt about it. But I just brought that up because you hear so much of this information and you hear it on all the talking heads and so on and so forth. And it's a political thing, and I'm not about to get into politics here, but it certainly is a political issue. And I think that's I was just recognizing it as such. But so what types of veterans do you employ or do you find work for? By that, I mean, what are some of the specialties? What are some of the jobs that they might qualify for through your service?
And I need to point out, it's not just veterans. The company itself is veteran-owned. And while I'd say about 75% of our employees, we have about 32 or so, are veterans, that's not necessarily. The business we do is with the federal government. So we have a contract at Luke Air Force Base right now. Matter of fact, I am the program manager for. And I have 10 individuals working for me. They're all either retired or separated Air Force guys, mainly because that job out there is teaching young Air Force troops radar fundamentals. And we did that job while we were in the Air Force, so we have the perfect resume for it. So Sonoran saw the opportunity on the government website announcing that the government, the Air Force, is going to award a contract for radar operations. Whoever wants this contract, enter your bid. So we did, and we won, and now we have 10 guys out there teaching young Air Force kids radar fundamentals.
Wonderful.
And that helps Luke because now there's 10 military individuals that can go serve their country, unfortunately, in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they're needed at the time. So we filled a hole that was created by ongoing operations.
Now, what other areas, this was based on the fact that you have radar experience and
you
have some people to do. Are there other areas that you can or have or will work in?
Oh, yes, sir. And what will happen is we'll go on. There's several websites out there that the government has. One is FedBizOps, Federal Business Opportunities, and that is one of the avenues that the government announces. We're going to issue a contract, whether it's for IT folks at the federal building, or a bunch of administrative personnel type of positions at Hill Air Force Base. They'll announce that. We'll huddle up and get together because I am also our recruiter. And we'll examine, is this worth pursuing? Can we do it? Can I find the manpower? Do we have really the bandwidth to chase after this? And we have a contract act right now, for example, at Hill Air Force Base. It's at the base hospital, the facilities guy, in charge of making sure that everything is going good at that hospital there. The Air Force put the solicitation out. We made a bid on it. Our price was right. And now I have another retired Air Force guy who actually worked at the hospital before he retired. He is now our facilities manager at the hospital. They love him. They love the work that he's doing, and life is good up there for him.
Well, you mentioned you put the bid out.
Yes.
So you bid these jobs.
Yes.
And what is that process? Explain to me what the bid process is.
Well, the Air Force will put out, or the Department of Justice, whatever the federal entity is, they'll put out a solicitation. And basically it says, we have a contract to award. It's for 1 year plus 3 or 4 or 5 option years. Lowest bidder wins. And although they don't say that, in actuality, it is lowest bidder wins. And that has its own pitfalls, too, trying to be the lowest bidder, because there's a delicate balance between winning and being a lowest bidder, but bidding so low that you can't find someone to work. So it's a delicate thing. There's formulas as to what you bid with overhead and different fees and things, and there's an actual formula that you use. So the solicitation comes out, and part of the solicitation is called an RFP, a request for proposal, which is just that. They're requesting all interested parties submit a proposal. So we do our due diligence. We check on the going rate on what a help desk guy would cost. So there's all kind of websites out there that helps us figure out what the going rate is for a help desk guy in Utah or Hawaii or whatever. So each location has different wages. And we apply our formula to it. We have to provide benefits, medical, dental, vision, 401k, educational benefits, things like that. That's all part of the formula. Mr. Smiley, my partner, is the proposal writer. He'll write it, send it to me, put my eyeballs on it. I'm the grammar guy. I make sure I's are dotted and T's are crossed. We have a costing individual, and she makes sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed with regards to the price. And then we submit it, and then we wait, and either we won or we didn't. And if we didn't win, we usually ask for a debrief. What happened? And normally it's price, and we're okay. If we lose by price, we're okay with that. I mean, you never like to lose a contract, but we feel that we've done our homework enough to where our price is right. If someone underbid us, well, then they're probably paid, or people less than we propose to pay, and we'd rather not do that.
There, and obviously, just like anything else, in any other realm of employment, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yes, sir.
And if you're underbidding, you're getting the low ball operator or the low ball performer, you're getting a low ball performance.
Even if I can find that individual, because usually we want to find our guys before the announcement comes, rather than, oh, we won, now I need to go find my guys, because they want you to go to work usually within 72 hours, get to work.
Oh, wow.
So we have things to do. If it's a contract that requires a clearance, I have to make sure that their clearance is good, which is another reason why we love hiring the military folks, because odds are their clearance is still good, and I am our security guy, and all I have to do is punch in a social security number and bring the guy back up, and if he's good, then good.
Now, I'm one of these follow the money trail kind of guys. You have to make money at this somehow.
Sure.
I mean, you're in business to make money. You're not a completely philanthropic organization, I wouldn't imagine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not a 501c3.
That's correct. We are a for-profit company.
Okay. Well, how do you make your money? I mean, what's the process here?
Well,
some of yours have got to be figured in there too.
Yes, that part of that formula I was mentioning. There's several parts, if you would, of the costing. There's what's called overhead, which is basically the cost of doing business, the brochures and the tablets and pencils and pens and stuff, and ads and newspapers to generate recruiting. So that's called overhead. There's G&A, which is, I can't remember what the G stands for, but that's administrative fees and things that, again, a company has to do business. And then there's the fee, which is above, and that's a number usually between 3% and maybe 9%. Some of the bigger companies charge 10%. That one is the profit line. So we feel if we can make 5% profit on this, on any given contract, we can lift that. That'll be fine. Everyone will get their salary. And another bonus is if I can, like a position at Luke, for example, I am the program manager on. So my salary is billable to that contract. So that helps us a lot. So I don't have to pull X amount of thousands of dollars out of our profit to pay myself. So we try to get a contract where I can go to work, or my accounting person can go to work kind of thing, and we can charge that, provided, of course, they do service towards that contract. But we're small. We're 4 years old in February, so we're learning our way through the business world here, but we're doing okay.
So you can perform this task for anybody, any department, anywhere across the country?
All those except any task. I mean, we have certain niches that we do, certain fields, if you would. Like, we're not into somewhat of a nuclear contract coming out. We wouldn't play in that one.
Gotcha.
But mainly goods and professional services, it's called, administrative, IT, command and control, which is the military, intelligence. We have a definite military flair towards us. We'd like to get the contracts on the military basis because, again, the clientele there, the customers, is a military, which myself and my partner are retired. And the workers, therefore, are probably going to be military, so they're already cleared. They're probably of good moral stature. It's just an easy fit for everybody concerned. Customer likes to have them.
So are you based here in Goodyear, Arizona, right?
Yes, sir. We're off
just down the road from here.
We're off the Estrella Parkway, right below I-10, about a mile. We have offices, though, in Chicago and in Newport News.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. So you get to travel a little bit?
A little bit. And we also, we have to visit our clients to make sure things are well. So we have contracts in Columbus, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, Chicago, Hill Air Force Base, Utah, and two contracts on at Luke Care. So once a quarter or so, we go visit the customer, ask them how things going, and they like that. Apparently, we're not too big yet to where we can't visit our folks. A lot of the bigger companies are just so big that
some customer service is way down the line somewhere.
I don't want to say that, but I know ours is not.
Okay,
I mean, I'll put that way.
I'll say it. I'll say it. I don't have a problem saying it. I mean, sometimes the larger you get, the more they are forgotten on the front line.
Because they're so large.
That's right.
We're not that large yet. Like I said, we've got about 30 or folks work for us. And it's amazing just hop on a plane and go visit a customer and then take our guys to lunch. A little thing like that goes a long way.
Now, if somebody wants to avail themselves of your service, if somebody is retired or retiring and they want to take a look at what their opportunities are out there in the civilian world, do you accept applications? How do you find these people?
Okay. That's a two-part. On the first part, as far as accepting applications, I am our recruiter, one among many hats I wear. Our website, we'd like to give if we can. There is a site on the website to submit a resume. It'll come to me. I will reach out to any individual that comes to me and talk to them, tell them what various opportunities we have right now, whether it's in this town or if they're planning to move somewhere. So I am available as far as accepting resumes go. The second part of it, if we go for a contract at downtown, Department of Justice, and they want 3 administrative individuals, I will then go search whatever resumes I've gathered through people sending me resumes, or we have different recruiting tools we use. One, believe it or not, it's Craigslist. It's free. Now, with Craigslist, though, we get many, 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 many resumes, and that makes it harder for me in that I may get 30, 40, or 50 resumes for one or two positions, but that's part of the recruiting, so that's the way it goes. The other ones we've actually paid for, one is called MilitaryHire.com, and that's simply military individuals who have submitted their resumes. It's a searchable database. It's one of the ones we pay for. And of course, there's Monster.com and Clearance Jobs, but those are a little pricey for us right now.
Okay. So it sounds as though your plate is pretty full, actually.
Yeah, it is.
What kind of capacity do you feel that you have as far as you see you have 32 active employees? Are they employed by you?
Yes, well, they're employed by Sonoran. They are Sonoran employees, yes.
Okay, so the paycheck comes from Sonora, and then you get reimbursed by the entity that they're
right.
working for.
Exactly. Yes, the government. Usually it's called a net plus 30 arrangement, where at the end of January, we'll submit a bill, an invoice. The government has 30 days to pay us. So when we first start a contract, we can't bill them for 30 days. And they have 30 days to pay us. So that's 60 days or 4 paydays that we have to come up with. So it takes a deep pocket to get these individuals paid, but then once it catches up, once the government pays us, then we're fine.
Mm-hmm. Then you're rolling. So you have to have something behind you that...
And we do.
To pay for
West Valley Bank is our bank. They're a business bank, a small business friendly, and they stood behind us. We have a sizable line of credit right now to where we're always going after contracts, big and small. And we're going after a very, very large one now at Dyess Air Force Base, Abilene, Texas, and Shreveport, Louisiana. If we win that one, there's about 40 individuals going to work, relatively high-priced individuals going to work, teaching bomber air crews training. That's what we do. We're really a training type of company. And if we win that one, we've teamed up with some other corporate individuals. If we win that one, that's a huge one. That's a big one.
You're on the road.
Yes, sir.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is probably a totally unrelated question.
Okay.
But there's an organization. First, let me ask this. Are you an Arizona-based company?
Yes.
You're founded, chartered, whatever, in Arizona.
We are.
Arizona Corporation.
Yes.
Because and I don't know how this would work or if it would work for you. But there's an organization here in Arizona called Local First Arizona. I don't know if you're familiar with that organization.
I'm not, but Paul Mike, he's the handshaker. He's the go-out-and-get-her-guy.
Well, Local First Arizona, to be a Local First Arizona member, you must be an Arizona-owned and operated and chartered business. And it's I think they've got 1,600 or 1,800 people in their under their umbrella, so to speak, and they're all locally owned businesses. I don't know if that would be something of interest to you or not, but nonetheless, they're small mom and pops, but then again, SCF or whatever it is in there. Bash's Foods is in there. There's a lot of larger ones there as well. So, I mean, it might be worth your while to take a look at local.
I would like to have information on
localfirstaz.com. Localfirstaz.com.
Okay.
And take a listen, take a look and see what they have on their website. It may or may not be of something of interest
to
you.
It never hurts to look.
Exactly.
Never.
Exactly. So you may want to try that. That's number one as far as local is concerned. And to get an idea as to what local does and what buying and shopping local does for people on a retail basis, you can listen to one of our shows that's coming up this Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's with Ron Naraki, is Wealth DNA.
Okay.
He's an investor and so on. And his guest is going to be Kimber Lanning, who is the executive director and founder of Local First Arizona.
8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, yes.
Okay.
I'll give you all that information.
Great, appreciate that.
So is there anything else that you'd like to leave behind with anybody? We can go from there.
Well, I mean, the reason we are here is for the Air Force Association's Southwestern Conference here at the beautiful Wigwam. If you've never been at the Wigwam, what a historical and a beautiful place.
It is nice.
Just a wonderful place. It's a beautiful morning, and glad to be here.
Yeah, and all is good with the world right now.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for stopping by, Peter, and visiting with me. I appreciate that. And enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, take care. Have a great day.
Thank you.
That was Peter Ehrenfeld, one of the founders and partners in Sonoran Technology. I'm hoping I'm saying that right, ST, Sonoran Technology. And he's got a very interesting company and a very interesting business in trying to find work for people on government contracts. So we're glad to see that he's here and working with the government, because he's finding some very good people to do some very important things. So we're going to take a little break right now, and we will be back, and we'll check back in very shortly. Bob, we're back as the morning activities are starting to wind down, and they're going to be starting the speakers in about 15 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and call off the rest of this show for now. We'll be back this afternoon over the lunch hour. So you're welcome to join us back here. We hope you will. We'll be back at 1:30 this afternoon and again at 4:30 this evening. So join us for some more interesting guests and some more conversation. And until then, remember to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And we hope to hear from you and have you back with us again later today. Have a great morning, everybody. To the Boomer and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.